welcome to a Sports Talk Chicago special podcast, a recap of the MLB and its first half of the season. My name's John Zaglul, and I'll be hosting today's show. We have a lot to talk about. We'll be recapping the All-Star game, as well as taking a look at the Cubs and Sox and how their first halves went. Plus, later in the show, we'll have a special guest on, and here's a hint, he's been on the show before. We'll be talking with him about some Chicago Cubs news, as well as his great MLB career. So, yes, it's quite a loaded show today, and I'm very happy that you're with us listening in. Before we get started, make sure to follow us on Twitter at ChiTalkSports and hit me up personally on Google+, LinkedIn, and Instagram at John Zags, and on Twitter at JohnZSports. Today's show is brought to you by Moochie World, where inspiration meets creation. Call 708-247-2100 to book parties, paint your own pottery, and have art classes for adults and children. Moochie World, creativity at its finest. And by the Windy City Thunderbolts. Single game tickets are available now. Call 708-489-BALL. That's 708-489-2255 to purchase tickets for their next home game. Well, let's start by analyzing the Chicago Cubs and their first half. Right now, heading into the second half, they're 55-38, 2.5 games ahead of the surging Milwaukee Brewers, sitting at first place in the NL Central Division. And right away, that's a great turnaround, because last season, after the All-Star break, the Cubs were under 500, coming off of their World Series winning season. There were questions about if they'd even make it to the playoffs, and of course they recovered, won the division, but it's nice and encouraging to see that this year, they're already off to the races, come half number two. Let's look at some guys who have really stepped it up and who have really contributed to this Cubs success. Because right now, the offense has been key. Wilson Contreras, the starting catcher for the National League in the All-Star game and hitting a home run in that same game, has been doing great this year. A .279 batting average, an OPS over 800, and 7 home runs is what he's contributed on offense. And defensively speaking, his fielding percentage is .990, and his defensive WAR is 1.1. All in all, a great first half for Contreras, and it only makes sense that he was named to the All-Star team. Now, should he have been starting? I don't know. I mean, JT Realmuto truly put up a case in the first half to be the best catcher in the National League. Nevertheless, Contreras got the start and also made some history in the All-Star game by hitting a home run. Moving to first base, and that's been a problem for the Cubs this year. Anthony Rizzo has not been on his game, and although he has 12 homers and 61 RBIs, he has a slash line of .246, .341, and .407. That's an OPS under 800. He's really got to get things together at the plate, and I know that he started off the year bad and that, as of late, he has been trending upward, but still, the Cubs are going to need him and his bat come the postseason if they want a chance at winning it all once again. Going to second base, Javier Baez has been a breakout sensation this year and is an early NL MVP candidate, if you can believe that. Baez this year, 19 homers, 18 stolen bases, a .292 average, and an OPS just under 900. That's superstar type stuff right there. And Baez's counterpart, Addison Russell at shortstop, has also been having a career year. Russell is hitting over .270 and has an OPS just under .750. Those are both career highs. Moving to third base, and Chris Bryant has been bitten by the injury bug a few times this year. Despite that, he's still hitting .280, and he has 10 homers and 40 RBIs. I think this second half, if he can stay healthy, will prove to be a better, more rewarding half for him at the plate. In the outfield, we have three guys who have been performing quite well. Kyle Schwarber is hitting .249, but has 18 home runs. Albert Almora Jr., a .319 batting average, he's top 10 in the NL. And Jason Hayward, who's hitting .285 and looks like the Jason Hayward of old. back during his days with the Braves and St. Louis Cardinals. Those are the starting 9 players for the Cubs. That's not even considering Ben Zobrist, who's hitting .285, and Ian Happ, who has 11 home runs in limited time. Everyone knows the Cubs' offense is capable of doing great things, and no one's questioned how good they've been doing all year. Their problem, continually, has been their starting rotation. And although John Lester, who has a 12-2 record with an ERA under 3, has been doing well, everyone behind him has had their fair share of hiccups and injuries. Yu Darvish is still on the DL and has a 4.95 ERA to his name when healthy. Tyler Chatwood leads all of baseball in walks, having 73 in 84 innings pitched. Jose Quintana, who has an ERA just under 4, has been inconsistent. And Kyle Hendricks, who is a former ERA champion, has had his ERA balloon and his losses pile up due to the fact that he's unable to locate his pitches as well as he once was. These are serious problems for the Cubs. How do they expect to win a 7-game series in the playoffs when all they're throwing is Lester and a bunch of guys who are struggling to keep their ERAs under 4? And what frustrates me is that during an interview today, Theo Epstein said that once the Cubs get Yu Darvish back, it'll be quote-unquote better than any acquisition they could make at the trade deadline. Give me a break. The Cubs need to get a bona fide starting pitcher, and not someone who's done nothing but struggle in a Cubs uniform and been hurt multiple times. Despite their starting rotation problems, the Cubs are in a great position right now. They have a fire-powered offense. They have the NL Central Division lead, and if they can acquire one more starting pitcher, I feel that nothing is stopping them from repeating what they did in 2016. Unfortunately, things couldn't be any different for the Cubs' neighbors, the Southsiders, the Chicago White Sox. Currently, the Sox have a 33-62 record, and they sit 19 games out of the American League Central Division lead. Now I ask you to take that with a grain of salt, because the Sox are rebuilding right now. The goal's not to win, the goal's to lose, get top draft picks, and make a run at the title years down the road. Some bright spots for the Sox include Omar Narvaez, the catcher, hitting .286 with a .771 OPS. And at first base, the Sox lone all-star, Jose Abreu, hitting .253 but with 13 homers and 52 RBIs. Yoan Moncada, the Sox top prospect, is currently hitting .238 with 130 strikeouts, which paces all of baseball. He does, however, have 12 home runs and 41 RBIs, so the power numbers are there, but other than that, it's been quite a dismal year for Moncada. At third base, Yolmer Sanchez is having another above-average season, leading all of baseball with 9 triples while hitting .256. In the outfield, it's been quite a mess, to say the least, as many guys have gotten opportunities to play out there, including Nicky Delmonico, Adam Engel, Abisael Garcia, Lurie Garcia, and Trace Thompson, none of which have necessarily produced due to bad performance or nagging injuries. In the starting rotation, however, the Sox have shown promise. Reynaldo Lopez has an ERA under 4 with a 4-7 record, and Carlos Rodon, who recently came back from surgery, has a 2-3 record with an ERA of 3.56. Plus, James Shields, who has a record of 4-10, leads the team with 126 innings pitched and might make it to the 200 mark. Believe it or not, the Sox have just as many bright spots in their starting rotation than the Cubs, and the Sox aren't even trying to contend. And that's a great thing that Sox fans have to look forward to. Guys like Lopez and Rodon, those are guys who are involved in the rebuild. They're staying for the long term, and they will be on the team once the Sox contend again. Think about it. These guys are pitching in such a mediocre environment, with lackluster defenses behind them, and still putting up these types of numbers. Imagine them on a contender. And that's what you're trying to look for during a rebuild. What are the bright spots? And right now, I'll tell you this, Reynaldo Lopez, and Carlos Rodon are huge bright spots for this White Sox rotation and this team once they become contenders again. Another guy whom Sox fans think is a bright spot but truly isn't is Yoan Moncada. I don't understand what people think is so good about this guy. This year in Major League Baseball, he's registered 383 plate appearances and has 130 strikeouts, a .238 batting average, and an OPS of 739. This guy was a number one top prospect, yet his performance in the MLB doesn't warrant that distinction. Now, some have claimed that, yes, he's only 23 and he needs time to mature. My point is, there have been guys who have been studs at the age of 23 in Major League Baseball. Look at Bryce Harper and Mike Trout. Look at Chris Bryant and Alex Bregman. All of those guys have succeeded in their age 23 seasons in the MLB. Why hasn't Moncada been able to do that? Sox fans, you have to embrace the truth. Moncada has done nothing at the Major League level, and this is his third season at that level as well. Eventually, something has got to give. And if I were you, I'd look forward to the players coming up right now in the minor leagues and not worry about Moncada. There's so much talent still to come, so stop worrying and getting caught up on one player. In the end, however, the Sox are not meant to make the playoffs this year and most likely next year. They need to keep losing, keep finding top draft picks, and making them into successes at the Major League level. Sox fans, I'd look forward to September 1st at this point. That's when some guys from AAA will get called up to receive a taste of the majors. Who knows? Maybe we'll see Michael Kopech or even Eloy Jimenez. But until then, Sox fans, ride it out, because once it's over, the Sox will be contenders once again. And now, before we get to our special guest, I wanted to highlight a couple of snubs from this year's All-Star Game. These are guys who, in my opinion, should have at least made it or had gotten a closer look. First, how about Albert Almora? He hit .319 in the first half of play and was a top 10 batting average qualifier in all of baseball. I thought he should have gotten more recognition. Now, granted, he's on the Cubs, so he's overshadowed by guys like Bryant, Rizzo, and Lester, but I still think he should have gotten a closer look for this year's All-Star team. Also, what about Eddie Rosario? He's doing great this season and got no recognition from anybody. He's hitting .311, an OPS just under .900, with 19 homers and 60 RBIs. Tell me that's not All-Star worthy. And what about Andrelton Simmons, the shortstop for the Angels? Simmons this year is having a breakout campaign. He's hitting .313, his OPS is above .800, and once again, he's playing sparkling defense at the shortstop position. He is long overdue for an All-Star Game appearance, and I was quite surprised when I found out that he would not be named to the team. Look, I know it's difficult to include everyone, especially with the rule mandating that there is one All-Star from each and every MLB team, but still, these three guys that I mentioned were no-brainers. It's just a shame that these guys weren't on the team, even though they had more than enough credentials to make it anyways. And with that, it's time for our special guest. He made his Major League debut in 1998 as a member of the Florida Marlins. And by 2000, he had made his first of two All-Star teams. From 2004 through 2012, he was a member of the Chicago Cubs, winning 67 games while earning 87 saves. And in 2013, he helped the Boston Red Sox win a World Series championship. Today, he is a special assistant in the Cubs front office and an analyst on MLB Network. Please welcome Ryan Dempster to the show. Ryan, how are you doing today? And thank you for being here on the show.
Thanks for having me. Having a wonderful day and just enjoying the nice Chicago weather and getting ready for some Cubs Cardinals, getting ready to play this weekend, so it's going to be great.
Well, first off, Ryan, speaking of the Cubs, I'd like to talk about their season thus far. Right now, they're in a contested battle with the Brewers for the NL Central Division lead. What did the Cubs need to do to truly break away and run away with this division?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, breaking away and running away is a tough thing to do when you have a good team like the Brewers chasing you down. You got tough division foes like the Cardinals and Pirates, and the Reds are playing better. So it's hard when you've got a division that's playing really well against each other to run away. But I think to stay on top, you have to continue to get good pitching from the guys that are out there every fifth day posting up and doing what they need to do, and getting a healthy Chris Bryant back. That's like a huge thing. And so I think those pieces of the puzzle that start falling in place and making it a real strong run towards the end of the season.
You know, with the trade deadline coming up, do you see the Cubs maybe acquiring a starting pitcher or another reliever?
Well, I think one thing that, the guys that make all those decisions in the front office, Theo and Jed, and leading the way, is that they're always trying to find depth. And, you know, but there's also other teams. There's, you know, 29 other teams out there looking to make deals and things that match up. But, you know, I think that is always a key priority for them, is adding depth. Because when you have that, you make your way through injuries or, you know, guys that aren't performing like they're normally supposed to perform. And I think having depth is a huge thing. And that's why there's been so much success out of the ball club the last few years.
You know, this year's divisional race reminds me of the 2007 season, where you guys fended off Milwaukee until the final days of the year. What's it like being in such a tight playoff race, especially when knowing that, you know, there's little room for error?
No, absolutely, and you're right, it does have that potential. I think the best part is that's what it's all about. That's the fun you're looking for, those games that every pitch matters. You know, they say something like 17 minutes in a game is when the actual live action is happening. And when you're playing games like that matters so much, it's who takes the least amount of seconds off, really, and is always focused and executing the best plays. And I always enjoyed it when the races were tight and you're out there battling it night in, night out. It's just such a good feeling of accomplishment. And although wrapping it up nice and early feels good, too, the intensity at which you play at those high levels, there's nothing like it.
And what was it like for you personally being on that 07 team? Because you were the closer at the time, so I can only imagine how nerve-wracking that must have been for you, especially with how close the race was with Milwaukee.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And that's what half the fun is, and knowing that, you know, when you're out there holding the ball and the game's on the line, it's what you dreamed of as a little kid in your backyard, like making the pitch in that moment, getting that guy out and having that determination. And you know, to do it in two different ways, to do it as a starting pitcher, do it as a reliever and a closer. It's been a lot of fun. And having rivalries and having a chance to go out there and win your division, then try and compete for a World Series is probably the best part of the whole game. And you can talk about no hitters and personal accomplishments and strikeouts and home runs and all that, but at the end of the day, when you're the last team standing, that's what it's all about.
We're talking to Ryan Dempster here on Sports Talk Chicago. And Ryan, shifting gears more to your career, I wanted to go back to 2003, where you underwent Tommy John surgery and became a free agent. At the time, what prompted you to sign with the Cubs? And did you ever think that you would end up having such a memorable career like you had?
I got hurt, and the Cincinnati Reds were nice enough to know that they weren't going to tender me a contract and release me kind of early, and allowed me to start talking with some teams. And I still was young going through that surgery, so I know that there was interest from the ball clubs and the opportunity to sign like a one-year deal with a team option. So you rehab with the team, and then you go out there, and when you're ready to pitch, you're active if everything goes well. And the Cubs were one of the teams that were on my short list, and it happened that I was on a list for them as well as somebody who might be able to provide that depth. And it just turned out to be a better relationship. I'm so thankful for all my years in Chicago. I get blessed to play here 9 years, and who would have thought it all started because I blew my elbow up in Cincinnati. But some of the best years of my career were right here in Chicago. So pretty special friendship and bond with the city and with the Chicago Cubs team, for sure. The organization's been incredible.
You know, one of your most memorable seasons with the Cubs was in 2008, where the team won 97 games and the NL Central Division title. Now, before the season started, you claimed that the Cubs would win the World Series, and that had many of your teammates calling you a funny nickname. I think it was Madam Cleo, if I'm not mistaken. When you guys had won the division, did you truly think that you would end up in the World Series and break the curse?
Yeah, we believed we had the team, and we really did. We believed in the guys in the locker room. Jim Henry compiled a team that was capable of winning the World Series. We had all the pieces from starting rotation to closer. Kerry Wood down there doing his job at the back end of the bullpen was just absolutely lights out. And we had a great offense, and we ran into a buzzsaw, you know, and it's not excuses, but we got beat. We got beat in three games. I didn't pitch well in game one. Z didn't pitch well in game two. And then we're behind the eight ball going to LA in game three. But we really did have a good team, and we ran into another team that was playing really well in the Dodgers that year. And unfortunately, it didn't work out, and it wasn't us. But I love having that ability to say that and believe it, because that's true. I wouldn't have said it if I didn't believe it. And I like guys who kind of wear that on your sleeve to trust in yourself, you know. And it was Tony Robbins, whoever says, if you believe it, you can achieve it. So it's kind of the mantra I was going with there.
Well, your time in baseball was quite special, to say the least. And in May of this year, you were honored for your baseball career by being elected into the BC Sports Hall of Fame. What did that honor mean to you?
Yeah, it was incredible. At first, I didn't really kind of wrap my head around all of it. I've never been inducted into any kind of Hall of Fame anywhere. So to get that, go back home and be a part of the induction ceremony when I first got in, actually straight off a plane to the induction ceremony, and then the next night with the banquet and honoring the inductees was really special. And a friend of mine from long ago, who's now the voice of the Vancouver Canadiens, a guy named Rob Fay, was actually the guy introducing me. And he was special enough to bring my 12-year-old son, Brady, up there and have him hang that medal over my neck and stand with me on the stage as they went through the acceptance speech and the video. And it was really, really special. And, you know, to know you grew up somewhere that you just love so much. I'm super proud to be from British Columbia and be from Canada and to be inducted into that Hall of Fame and have my family there and to go through it all was an amazing moment of my life, no doubt.
And coming this August, you're hosting a talk show called Off the Mound. What can we expect from it, and tell us more about how to attend?
Yeah, it's gonna be a great thing. We're doing kind of my version of a late night talk show, and go out there and talk to some guys, you know, ex players, current players, and personalities of the game, and you know, just kind of get this stuff. Sometimes we take players and we dehumanize them. We idolize them so much that we forget that they're just still human beings. And while they, you know, can hit a baseball, you know, a mile long, or they throw 100 miles an hour, or they're, you know, an incredible fielder, that's all special and they should be praised for that. But at the end of the day, they're humans and they got funny stories and they're great personalities. And I think doing all that, and the great part about it is we're all going to come together as fans and the people on stage and raise a ton of money for CPS Score, which is a after school sports program for the Chicago Public Schools, and help a program really take off and give a lot of kids a chance to get out there and be active and have a fun night doing it all and throw a little bit of a party afterwards. So I'm super excited to do it. I'm stoked. The tickets go on sale tomorrow on Twitter at Off the Mound, and it's going to be a great night.
And on a final note, I wanted to ask about a story involving you and your teammate at the time, Ted Lilly. Now, I know that you had initially poured some water down his sock, which, I mean, isn't that bad, but then Ted planned an elaborate plot that truly got you back. What ended up happening, and did you try and get Ted back again?
Well, what happened was, in spring training, especially in years past, you were allowed to kind of get out of there a little bit early. If maybe the team was on the road and you'd already finished all your work. And so we decided, me and him and Kerry Wood decided that we were going to go visit the casino and go play some poker and play some cards and have some fun together and hang out in the afternoon. I left the clubhouse and I got in the car and I started driving, and then I kind of got a message, and my cell phone was right there, and it just said, "Don't rub it." And I didn't really get what he was talking about. Don't rub it. And then, well, sure enough, about 10 minutes later, I'm on the 101 and just outside of Scottsdale, Arizona, and I can start to feel this burning sensation, this rage of heat coming from my groin area. And my lovely friend and teammate, you know, because that's what friends do to each other, Ted Lilly, he took Icy Hot, Red Hot, and rubbed it in my underwear and in my jeans, so that in case I took my underwear off, that I was still going to feel that sensation. And I didn't respond, and I walked into the casino. They were sitting at the table, and I sat down, and they were both staring at me really hard, and I was trying to hold it in and hold it in, and I was just like, man, that stuff is hot. It's so hot. So hats off to him, and you know what? When you get got, sometimes you just got to accept it and know you just get got and then go try and get somebody else, not that person.
Well, Ryan, thank you so much for being here on the show. Had a great time talking to you, as always, and feel free to come out again in the future.
Absolutely, John. Always a pleasure.
Well, there you have it. What an honor it was to have Brian Dempster on the show again, as we talked about his great Cubs career, some Cubs news, and yes, another funny story from his playing days. As always, it was entertaining and fun to have Ryan Dempster on today's show. And that does it for us here at Sports Talk Chicago. Make sure to follow us on Twitter at ChiTalkSports and hit me up personally on Google+, LinkedIn, and Instagram at John Zags, and on Twitter at John Z Sports. Also, make sure to subscribe to the website. You can find the subscription box on the homepage of the site. Type in your email, confirm that you received it, and you'll be subscribed. Once you are, you'll receive email updates whenever a new podcast or article is posted. And finally, Sports Talk Chicago is now on iTunes and Google Play. If you get an opportunity, we'd really appreciate a 5-star review as well as some feedback. This is John Zaglul for SportsTalkChicago.com. Thank you for listening to today's show, and have a great day.